and of Krishna, saying how he can be known. And we talked a little bit about the Avadhut, who had 24 different gurus, and how he was able to learn from all kinds of encounters, species, situations. And as we understand the importance of coming to the platform, ultimately, of Uttamadhikara, where we are literally seeing, experiencing, and realizing Krishna all the time in most beautiful ways. Tai Sisi Radha Damada Radha Kalachandi Goni Tai Ki. So Malati will speak, and Narataki, and then Ranath Maharaj, questions and answers, and then we can have Bhajan, Kirtan, after that, as Maharaj feels so disposed. Malati Dasi, everyone knows her. You've heard about her, you've read about her, you've seen her in many different places. And now we have, of course, this wonderful chance to hear from her again. We are always amazed, senior devotees, in how tirelessly she works and how she makes us work. When Malati calls me, I know, time to get to work. She says, Maharaj, how are you doing? She says, I'll tell you after we finish talking. She's a real general. She keeps everyone literally on their feet. So she is obviously some special agent for Srila Prabhupada, as she has joined him at such an early time and giving her life in such a way, dedication. And as we know, she is on the GBC board. And that's not an easy thing, being the only woman on the GBC board of so many tough guys. But that shows how tough that she is. No problem for her. Mother Narataki, she has been serving for many, many years. She was one of the biggest book distributors, dedicated, as many devotees have done, the best years of their life. One is very youthful and healthy these days, but not so healthy. And how mercy was and is in trying to give out mercy to others. And she's been consistent in that way. But now she went to India, understanding, to assist with Giriraj Swami. He was organizing a facility, a hospice care facility for widows. And he encouraged her, and she was coming to assist. And I'm sure she will perhaps be doing that more in the future. And then she was serving in Bombay, helping out at the hospital. You've heard, I think some of you have seen some pictures and some other information about the hospital. These very special devotees who are there trying to give care for the body, mind, and the soul. So it takes special caretakers to do like this. And Narataki, she is that kind of Hare Krishna nurturing type of person. When people are in need, it's a wonderful time for devotees to be available. When someone is in need, then they are eager to try to get clarity, help, take shelter. And so it is very good way, a very wonderful way, is how devotees can facilitate in helping to raise consciousness on the planet by being various types of counselors, caretakers, where we can help people with the immediate issue that they have in mind or they're dealing with, but at the same time we take them up to a higher level, because we're not interested in only taking care of their bodies or even their minds. We want them to understand that they something even beyond that, and how to really deal with any kind of disease or issue as we rise above the mental and the bodily platform. And His Holiness Ranath Swami Maharaj, is such a wonderful catalyst for our society all around the world. And what he does in various places and what he does when he moves around, it is quite consistent. I've heard devotees say they know practically no other leader who can just say a few words to you and just penetrate so much into your heart. If you don't believe it, you speak with them on a one-to-one and you will see some mystical transformation takes place. And it is obviously due to his amazing ability while doing so many things on a grand scale to be so able to be aware, attentive, and concerned about each person. And that's a really amazing sign of a powerful servant leader. There's a certain kind of management and leadership where you can be involved in productivity, can be very much involved in doing lots of grand and big things, and get a certain amount of shakti and inspiration from that. But when there's someone who can do such things while simultaneously feel just as much importance in trying to reach out to each person regardless to who he or she is. So I think this kind of topic of seeing Krishna in all things and seeing Krishna everywhere and trying to use every encounter and relationship as a way to glorify Krishna and as a way to understand that there are no accidents. So if something is happening in our life, and there is some reason that Krishna has allowed it to come forth in our life space, and that if we are very mindful, then we won't waste any time. We'll use our experiences to try to understand how Krishna works and to try to allow him to work more in our particular lives. So let us have our ears very open and our minds, most important, our hearts, to be able to accept their association. They'll be here with us for 2 days. And let us also be very grateful that after such vigorous activities the last few days and a very powerful festival that they had, that they are able to drive all the way here and to make themselves available for us in this way. Shri Sri Radha Damodara Ji Ki.
Hare Krishna. Offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the assembled Vaishnavas, and in particular His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Chandamali Rama Maharaj, and Radhanath Maharaj, and all of my god sisters who are also here, and particularly those god sisters who are more qualified than myself, because it's a little bit, to me, sarcastic that I'm supposed to sit here and talk about seeing Krishna in everything, because I haven't seen him yet. It's a little bit of a hard topic. Gita Nagari is such a sweet project, and I was really looking forward to coming here after the last weekend in New Vrindavan, where we also had a festival, and there were hundreds and hundreds of attendees. But I knew I was thinking of Gita Nagari, where there were also a few hundred attendees. But the attendees that came to Gita Nagari were mostly, like ourselves, ISKCON devotees, coming specifically for the association of the Mahatmas and hoping for some increase in their spiritual consciousness. And New Vrindavan is a little unique because many of our attendees are kind of like, we use the word with affection, but they're tourists. They come to see the Palace of Gold. They come to just, you know, have a look around. They may not have any inclination or even any interest in spiritual life, but somehow Krishna, through Srila Prabhupada's arrangement, has trick them into coming into this spiritual atmosphere. But the mood on these big festivals can be a little different than a sweet and loving exchanging mood as you would have between devotees specifically. So it is a little bit of a challenge to maintain a ecstatic spiritual atmosphere when not everybody is there for that reason. And then on this particular weekend, Krishna made a very wonderful arrangement. He had Nirjala Ekadashi right in the middle, you know, on a Sunday even. So there was the feasting and fasting simultaneously going on. It's nice to come to this, to Gidanagari, where it's a little bit more intimate, not so industrialized. We have a very special opportunity in New Vrindavan to serve a greater variety of potential devotees, and of course the devotees who do come. And it's there that we can preach about Krishna, we can speak about Krishna, we can have association. But when you come to Gidanagari, I notice it's a very immediately refreshing change from the intense weekend we had. Immediately devotees are coming out to welcome you, and even though the devotees here had had this very intense weekend here, I heard there was between 200 and 300 devotees, and you see how small the place is, so I was asking, where did they all stay? And Vrajalila said, yes, I'm trying to figure that out myself. They were here somewhere.
The barn.
Yeah. But what was apparent to me was immediately being greeted, immediately being attended to, you know, immediately the mood of service was continuing. And I was thinking this morning in New Vrindavan, it was the day after a big weekend, you know, like Prabhupada's guru pooj, the arti tray wasn't there. You know, somebody with guru pooj was starting and they were like, where's the arti tray? Prabhupada's garland wasn't there. Everybody was just kind of... And then, of course, they knew that one great personality was taking his departure, and that added to the, what I call the blip in the consciousness. Anyway, we have a lesson to learn to keep this mood of service going on under any circumstance. And I think this is the wonderful offering of Gidanagari, is this mood of service. And that was Prabhupada's mood. He began the movement by serving little hippie boys and girls, cooking for them, and even washing their plates because they were not cultured enough to pick up their own plates and wash them. So after he would actually cook for them and serve them with his own hands, they would get up and leave, and Srila Prabhupada would have to pick up their plates and wash them. You know, this is the mood of service that we come from. This is the intensity of service that we have to look forward to achieving somehow in our lifetime. There's one story how, as this was going on, one young man stayed behind one day, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, it occurred to this young man, well, he's feeding every day, and then we all get up and leave. So I wonder if he needs any help, because I don't see anybody staying behind to help him. So he came, and he said, can I help you? And I can't authentic, you know, I don't know if this is an authentic answer, but this is what I heard. That Srila Prabhupada looked at this young person, and maybe it was a smile of relief, but he said, I thought no one would ever ask. So this young man, he started to help. You know, it occurred to him that he should maybe reciprocate. And Srila Prabhupada was 70 years old. These were young men and women, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. It wasn't like they were infirm or incapable. But we lacked the culture, we lacked the training. And we lacked the service, the humility of service. And this is what Srila Prabhupada began the movement on, And this is one of the very sweet offerings of Gita Nagari, is the humility of serving the Vaishnavas. And of course, I really believe that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he is giving you large doses of that spirit and practical instructions along with the different shastric reasons why we should serve each other. He makes it accessible through practical explanation. I have one very, very small connection with Gita Nagari, which is the small deities of Radhakala Chanji. And those deities were, it sounds funny to say, I purchased Krishna. You know, it even sounds funny to say you buy deities. But at one point I had a service, myself and another devotee, and our service was that we were purchasing deities. In actual fact, we had only been requested to purchase one set of deities. But when we arrived in Jayapur, it was our first time there. And Jayapur is the home of Radha Govinda. And it was a very overwhelming experience to be in front of these beautiful deities and to see the overwhelming enthusiasm of an entire town coming to worship a set of deities who were there since probably almost 500 years now. And we became really caught up in that spirit. Like in the morning, people would be running down this hill, running into this courtyard, like running, not walking fast, but running. And not just a few people, like sometimes you see people running to Mangalarti at an ISKCON temple, but usually it's because they're late. But this is like before Arti, and people are running. And even old people, you know, even old people with sticks were just like wobbling along. And they would start singing. As soon as they would enter the courtyard, they would start singing and calling out to Radha Govinda. And then when the curtains would open, there would be so many hundreds of people at 4:30 in the morning. And they would start pushing forward. So you became like merged with the person in front of you, the person behind you. And sometimes you couldn't even breathe, or sometimes your body would actually be like lifted in this crushing movement. You'd be like lifted off the ground. You couldn't fall down. That was a good thing. You wouldn't worry about being trampled because you were so smushed. And they would have this wonderful arti, and everybody was just full on attentive to the beautiful presence of Radha Govinda. And this made such an impression because at this point we really hadn't experienced to a great degree, we hadn't experienced deity worship in ISKCON, just in a few places. And there weren't, you know, the deity worship and the traveling in ISKCON was still localized. Like now if there's like a New York Rath Yatra or a San Francisco Rath Yatra, LA Rath Yatra, a festival at Gita Nagari, people come from all, you know, even from other countries. We have people sitting in this room from other countries. But otherwise it was local, and locally there weren't that many people. So just to see this massive, attentive turnout, and we got really excited. And it was the first, you know, time we had this idea. Up until that time, the deities in ISKCON were basically, we had Radhalanda Nishwara, and they were white marble. So we had the idea, and this was before Radha Govinda in New York came, so there weren't any black deities. So we had the idea that maybe we would purchase black deities, black Krishna. And so we got one set for the temple that had made the request. But then we were so enthusiastic about all of these, this morning program at Radha Govinda, that we were waiting for these deities to be readied, that we went back the next day and we found another set of black deities. Well, we didn't find a set. We found first the black Krishna, then we'd find Radha. So in the end, it ended up there was three sets. And we're, the third set we got was a very large Krishna, large black Krishna. And that deity is now in Dallas. But we were thinking, well, he's so big, there should be some smaller deities. And there was one sannyasi, Sudama Maharaj, who's no longer with us, he's left his body. He had requested some small deities. So in the mood of these small deities, this small set was purchased. And the deities were sent. In those days, we didn't do things as quickly, so things would, they had to go to Bombay, then they had to get cleared through customs and come to America. And the deities ended up, the large deity of Kalachanji went to Dallas, and the other two went to Detroit and Denver. And then the small deities were there, and eventually that devotee, Sudama, he started doing other types of things, and his deities were in Dallas. And somehow Krishna asked to be taken away from, the small Krishna asked to be taken away somehow or other, because as I understand it, Satsarup Goswami brought these deities here. So that was my small connection to Gita Nagari, that somehow I had found these small deities. And just like Prabhupada said, you can't go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. So I don't think you can get Krishna by purchasing a deity, you know. But somehow I was able to purchase these deities. And I hope by doing that service somehow or other, maybe one day Krishna will kindly show himself to me if I can develop the mood of serving the Vaishnavas that is present in all of you in Gita Nagari. If I can somehow take part in that spirit, maybe instead of purchasing Krishna with a few dollars, I can purchase him with some love, and then perhaps I'll be qualified to sit here and speak to you about seeing Krishna. Well, I will turn this over to Narataki, who is qualified to speak to you about seeing Krishna, and then you can maybe learn something. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnubadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simita Bhakti Viranta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Sarasati Devi Goravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavari Pastacharishani Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kipasindubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Actually, I'm feeling a little nervous to speak in front of my senior god sister and my god brothers. But at the same time, I've been asked to speak, so I want to try. I'm trying to please them and you. When I was first coming to Krishna consciousness, I was I joined in Australia, and I was saw the devotees going out on Sankirtan, and since I had a small daughter, I was not able to go out on Sankirtan. And but I somehow assisted always, because I always saw how they were going out and they came so blissfully back, that I always felt, oh, one day I also want to go. But I assisted a little bit by sometimes repairing the wigs of the brahmacharis or sewing the clothes of the brahmacharinis, like this. And then finally, when I came from Australia to Los Angeles, actually for some time I also served Radha Kalachanji for a few months. I first came to Dallas and then I went to Los Angeles. And there, of course, was big Sankirtan fleet already daily going out, and I got caught up in that fire of service to distribute Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada always trained the devotees in Los Angeles to distribute his books, and what kind of vision we should have when we go out. And since the subject matter is seeing Krishna in everyone, this is exactly what Prabhupada wanted us to envision when we went out, that we were in a mood of compassion and that we would try to see Krishna in every living entity's heart and not discriminate. So we were especially also many times we were always remembering the verse Vidya Vinaya Sampani Brahmanas Gavihashtini Suni Chaiva Swapakeja Pandita Samadarshina. So that a learned Brahmin, and Prabhupada wanted us to become Brahmins, then we should not make any distinction between hasti means elephant and a dog and a dog eater, a learned brahmana, like that. So we should see Krishna in everyone and not discriminate to whom we give this Krishna consciousness. So I remember that sometimes in the beginning it is kind of sometimes we would see a person and we would think, oh, maybe this person will not take a book or will not give a donation like this, and we would avoid that person, you know. Then after some time when we remember, you know, Prabhupada actually wants us to approach everyone, we would walk up to everyone. And sometimes a person who we thought was most unlikely to take a book, like an elderly lady, an older elderly lady, and we would walk up to her, and she would be the most enthusiastic to take a book, and to ask even questions like that. So after some time, then a businessman who would come. He would not take the book and he would not give a donation. So we learned not to discriminate. We should approach everyone. And I remember also when I was still in Australia, I did mainly deity services there, and one devotee from Los Angeles had come, Budimanta, who was a big book distributor, and he was specifically coming to help us to learn how to distribute books. He was very humble, and Prabhupada had acknowledged him to be a wonderful book distributor, and but he would never say, "Oh, Prabhupada, I distribute so many books." You know, when they were in the room, he would always say someone else had to distribute so many books when he actually distributed the most. And so he was sent to Australia to help us, because in the beginning we were only distributing magazines, and he had started distributing books big books very successfully. So I went once downtown, and I was inside a store buying some cloth for the deities, and I saw him outside distributing books. So then I was watching through the window. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but he stopped one elderly lady, or some housewife, and he was very tall, and she kind of looked up to him, and he was smiling and performing a whole Hare Krishna. He was performing a whole drama and talking to her, and she was watching and sometimes smiling, sometimes looking sad like this. And then he gave her all the books. He had like a stack of books, big books, and he gave all of them. They were the Srimad Bhagavatams who had been distributed up until that time, translated up until that time. He gave them all to her, and she was kind of looking at them, and then he opened the book and showed her some of the pictures and talked about the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then at the end he was asking her for a donation, and she was so happy that she held the book with this hand, she only lifted the wallet out of and gave it to him, and he opened it up and took the money, and she put the wallet back and she happily walked off. So I was very impressed how he was like relating to everyone equally and not making any discrimination, and really touch the heart of people also like that. And in Los Angeles also, there were so many Vaishnavas distributing books, and the fruit of our activities was always when we saw that people would come to the temple on Sundays after we had given them some books. And it was always nice to serve them then and to welcome in the community. And we had such a large community, we would give them also like a tour, like in New Vrindavan also, they're giving a tour of the Palace of Gold and like this. We had the art studio, we had the Fate exhibition, and Bhadras was making this dioramas, which was across the street, some studio that we had there. And we had a kindergarten for the children, we had a large deity department, and of course the BBT. Prabhupada always called Los Angeles the Western World Headquarters. The BBT was there, and the layout department, they would, after the artist received the script, they would paint the painting, and sometimes when Prabhupada was there, they would go to Prabhupada and ask him how they should paint a particular painting. Like, Srila Prabhupada, what does Krishna in the heart look like? Does he stand? Does he sit? Like this. And Prabhupada was closing his eyes and he said, Krishna is standing. Vishnu is, you know, it's the Vishnu form of Krishna, standing. So they would get direct information from Srila Prabhupada how to paint a particular painting. And then after the paintings were finished, they were sent for taking photos of them, and then it was sent to the layout department. They would on each page fit the text and the pictures, etc., and the Sanskrit text, etc., and transliteration. And then it finally was sent to the printers. And Prabhupada very much appreciated all these services of the devotees. And of course, they were sent also to the Sanskrit department and the English editing department. Jai Advaita Maharaj was in the English editing department, and Gopi Parandana and Akushakrata were in the Sanskrit department, like that. And there was a Spanish BBT as well. We would produce Spanish books, and so there was always a lot to show to outsiders. And when people saw the community, they could kind of relate how they may be fitting in, and maybe in their minds this idea would form, you know, oh, maybe I would like to become Hare Krishna too. So, and plus we had a nice at one point Prajapati Prabhu and his wife were there, and we had always wonderful dramas on Sundays. And Jagatrini was also sometimes coming and performing puppet shows for the children. So it was a very lively household or community, and people could very nicely relate to this, to how they may be wanting to take up Krishna consciousness. Then I was just thinking, you know, by doing Sankirtan, this training of seeing Krishna in everyone, of course, just like Maliti said, we are not maybe seeing Krishna's form directly in the heart of every living entity, but just by instruction of spiritual master, we would go out and just shastra chakshu by the vision of the scripture, by understanding the scriptures, then have that vision through understanding the shastras that Krishna is situated in every living entity's heart. We should be kind and compassionate to all living entities, just as our spiritual master has been compassionate to us, to give us Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we want to to the same for other living entities. So I was always feeling that it is a very nice service to go out and preach Krishna consciousness to others and give them an opportunity to have contact with the devotees, make friends with them whenever they come to the temple. And then later on, even though I was not able to do book distribution so much anymore, then when I went to India, even though I did medical services, this kind of vision is also very nice in any other service that you do. Like in the hospital in Mira Road, we have quite a large percentage even of Muslims coming to the hospital, and we have a spiritual care department. So whoever comes, we are receiving them very nicely, and we help them in their difficulties in ill health. And in the beginning I couldn't really distinguish also, you know, by the name what if that would be a Muslim or a Hindu, which was good in this terms, because I would be equal to everyone. Maybe if I would have known, oh, that's a Muslim, I would have been a little shy or something. And I remember in the beginning there was a Muslim couple, and the husband was sick and the wife was sitting near the bed, but she didn't have the burqa, the dark outfit on overhead or anything. She just had salwar kameez, means the you say here Punjabis. So I was starting to talk to them a little bit, and they were so happy that I was talking also in Hindi to them that they started to make friends. And then the wife was inviting me to come home to their house, and then another lady, she was another man was, it was the husband who was sick, then another man was in the corner, and he was a Hindu, and he was kind of in anxiety. He said, no, she does not go to anyone's house, they have particular dietary restrictions or something like that. He was really trying to be protective like that. But and Krishna kind of helped in that way. I was friendly with them, but I didn't want them to I did not, you know, didn't know how to say no when they would invite me to their house like that. But this kindness is this kindness we should give to everyone. Doesn't matter what the external circumstances of their caste or religion or etc. is, and whether they're old or young or like that, we should always be kind, and then Krishna will make arrangements that it is that the situation is proper for us to in that way, I felt like getting this training as a Sankirtan devotee was always good, even later on in my services. So I'm always grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he has taught us this, that we should be compassionate to other living entities, and that we should be grateful for what we have received from our spiritual master. Hare Krishna.
Jainathasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Dadati Svapatam Dikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuthapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagra Chatham Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Sri Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Krivasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. Pleasure and fortune to be amongst you once again in Sri Sri Radha Damodar's glorious abode, Kitanagari. We were asked to speak on the subject of your recent festival, how to see Krishna in everything. This, in fact, is the goal of our life. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. In the Bible, Jesus taught, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will open. So the essence of Krishna consciousness is to be always looking for Krishna. This is the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. When he was an embryo in womb of mother, Ashwatthama sent Brahmastra, a very most powerful weapon. And it was his mother who saved him. Uttara, in her motherly affection, could see that this Brahmastra was coming to kill the child within her womb. It was the original abortion about to take place. And she cried out to Krishna. She cried out to Krishna, please save my child. And in answer to her prayer, Krishna appeared within the womb and neutralized the Brahmastra. So Parikshit saw Krishna for that moment. It was only a glimpse for a moment. But after that, when he was born, he was constantly looking for that Krishna everywhere, in everything, and in everyone. Therefore, his name was given, Parikshit. Always eager, searching for Krishna. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught us, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is pleased by seeing you. Atapumbir Vijastrestas Varanashrama Vibhagashash Vanushtatasya Dharamasya Samsadir Hari Toshanam. The success of whatever we do is whether it pleases Krishna. Not how much money we make or how much fame and glory we receive. Not the titles we're given. Not how many votes we get. The only real tangible success on the spiritual platform is to the degree we please Krishna. So we're trying, the great acharyas have taught us how to always be looking for the opportunity to serve Krishna and please Krishna in every possible situation. Sometimes they are conceivable and ordinary, and sometimes they are so inconceivable that our intelligence cannot fathom why. Queen Kunti, she was completely pious and pure. But what tragedy she had to endure in her life. She was a widow, five little children. They were being persecuted. People were trying to kill them. They were exiled, humiliated. And for a loving mother, whatever pain that could possibly come upon her is multiplied by millions of times when it's upon the object of her love, her children. What was Kunti's love for the Pandavas? But even through going all those tragedies, when the battle of Kurukshetra was fought and Yudhisthira was put on throne, as Krishna was leaving, Kunti prayed, Vipadashantu tashashva tatra tatra jagat kuru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam. She prayed, Krishna, let these calamities come upon me again and again and again. For in the face of these calamities, I see you. And in seeing you, I never have to see birth and death ever again. She was seeing Krishna in the most difficult circumstances. Lord Brahma prayed, Tate nukampam susumikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipagam haritbhadvapur virvitatam namaste jiveti muktipade sadayavak. Whatever may happen in this world, still we're the eternal spirit soul. And Radha Damodar are eternally performing their pastimes in the spiritual world. Radharani is eternally offering her blessings to anyone who receives it. Krishna is eternally calling us home with his flute. And he's descended within the holy name with all of his opulences, with all of his mercy. That is an eternal reality. And no circumstance within this world can possibly change that. That is eternal, that is constant, that is always. And human life is meant to take shelter of that reality. In this world of change, samashitaye padapalava plavam mahat, there's so many unpredictable situations may come before us. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there's only two things that are certain in this world. One is death. Prabhupada would say, sure as death. And the other certain thing is that Krishna is always within his holy name for the devotee who chants. So Lord Brahma prays, one who is put in inconceivable, difficult situations in life, who with folded palms gratefully offers obeisances to Krishna, that person alone has the right to the perfection of liberation. Prabhupada said, we cannot see with our eyes, we must see with our ears. What does that mean? We must see the world through the faith that we receive through hearing from the scriptures, from the guru, and from the saintly persons. This is actually our vision. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha. We're seeing with these eyes, but we're in the darkness of ignorance. Because we're not seeing who we are. What is this world? What is its relationship to Krishna? So these spiritual masters, they give us light because they teach us how to see through our ears, how to hear with submissive attention. And that sound vibration is installed like a deity on the altar of our heart. And it gives us faith. And we see the world through that faith. Then we can actually see with perfect vision. In Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, which is so beautifully explained in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find how the Vrijavasis practically every day some great commotion took place. We may have had problems, but have you ever had a 8 mile, what, 12 mile size witch named Putana coming? Or Agasura, 8 mile long snake? Here at Gita Nagari, if a snake 6 inches comes near you, you're probably running and screaming, yes? 8 mile snake. His bottom of his mouth was on the ground and the top was in the clouds. Hare Krishna. The fangs of that snake, gigantic teeth, were like mountain peaks. Hare Krishna. Now what would you do? And his eyes were just blazing red with anger. And there was a horrible, disgusting smell gushing out of his mouth due to all the flesh he had eaten in the past. Put yourself in the cowherd boy's position. If you were just playing little children and you saw such a snake who had come specifically to devour you, would you be afraid? Cowherd boys, some of them ran away. The others are saying, don't run away, come back, come back, come back. Don't you see? Whatever's in Vrindavan is by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna has sent, it's probably just a big statue that we're supposed to play with. And somebody else says, but he's breathing and I can smell something. That's not a... Even if he's a demon, does it matter? Krishna went into Bakasura's mouth and came out and slayed him. So we have nothing to fear. Krishna will protect us. Let us go. Let us play and see wonderful Krishna's wonderful, wonderful pastimes. Now Krishna was listening to this. And according to our acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was thinking, oh no, these cowherd boys, they're thinking of going in the mouth. They don't understand. Agasura, he's feared by the demigods. He's the brother of Putana and Bakasura, who I already killed. And he's come specifically to get revenge by killing me and all of my friends and family members. Very dangerous situation. So Krishna decided he was going to stop them. But immediately the boys, just laughing, jumping, clapping, smiling, just ran right into the mouth of Agasura. And Krishna stood there. Now you may ask, if Krishna's all-powerful, the controller of all controllers, not a blade of grass can move without his sanction, how did they run into his mouth when he did not want them to run into their mouth? What is the answer? Our beloved Acharyas give us the answer. That Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotees. Krishna didn't want him to go in. But the devotees wanted to go in so much because they wanted to glorify Krishna. They knew that Krishna would save them and would perform such an incredible, wonderful pastime that the whole universe would be chanting. So they ran in. So Krishna went in after them. And then Akasura closed his mouth. And Krishna made himself bigger, 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 bigger. So big, that Akasura could no longer breathe. Krishna totally filled up his mouth, so by his mystic powers, Aga became bigger, and Krishna became bigger, and Aga became bigger, and Krishna became bigger, and then he couldn't breathe. So his spirit soul just bursted right out from the top of his head. In other words, he was dead. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! Arivo! Then his mouth was open. Meanwhile, it was pitch dark in there. There was no proper air. And because of the pitch darkness, the cowherd boys couldn't see Krishna. Therefore, they all left their bodies. They lost all consciousness in separation from Krishna. And Krishna glanced upon them, and they came alive, and they all danced out of Agasura's mouth. Another question. Why did Krishna grow big? He never grew big before in Vrindavan. Just like we know the story of Putana. She came in as a beautiful lady. So beautiful! The Brijavasis thought maybe she's a heavenly damsel or the goddess of fortune herself who has come to give blessings to our Gopal. He was only a couple days old. How, mothers, how helpless is your child when they're only 1 or 2 days old? She picked up baby little Krishna, who was this big, and she put breast in his mouth, which was smeared with enough poison to kill thousands of grown men. Krishna sucked and sucked, and he sucked so nicely, this little baby, that she just ran outside trying to get him off, and she grew 12 miles long. And Krishna didn't grow an inch. Now think about it. Logistically, Putana is 12 miles long, and Krishna's this big. What was his size on hanging on to her breast? It's like this. Yes? And yet he was squeezing, just squeezing and sucking. And she was in so much pain. Ah, child, leave me, child, leave me, leave me. Ah. She fell to the ground like earthquakes. Now Krishna killed this 12-mile monster, and he didn't grow even an inch. He had such power. And then there was Trinabharta, the next asura that came. He was a whirlwind. He was like a hurricane. You know how fearful our country becomes when hurricanes are coming close. Just everything was blowing. It was pitch dark. And he picked up Krishna, went higher and higher and higher and higher into the sky. And Krishna just put his arm around his neck, this big demon, and he assumed the weight of a mountain, but he remained exactly the same size. Now Vamanadeva, he was in order to conquer Bali Maharaj, he grew so that he could cover the whole universe in 2 steps. Narasimhadev came in a massive form to conquer Hiranyakashipu. Krishna didn't need to grow. Why didn't he grow? He could put the whole universe in his mouth and be the same size. His mouth was only this big. Because of his relation with his devotees. His mother, Nanda and Yashoda, loved him as a mother and father. If he were to grow to big sizes, it would disturb their parental affection. He never changed his form as a little, beautiful child. The cowherd boys, if they saw Krishna, how could they play with him after seeing that? He would kill all these demons in his original, beautiful, little form. But in the case of Agasura, everyone was sleeping. It was pitch dark. Nanda and Yashoda were not there, so nobody could see him. So he grew. He grew like anything, and he did not disturb anyone's mood of devotion or their relationships. But in the story, we see the example of the Brijavasis, what it means to be a Brijavasi. Bajahure mana srinanda nandana abhayat sharanara vindare. To remember Krishna. When we remember Krishna with faith, we can overcome all obstacles. Jesus said, you have enough faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move the mountain and the ocean. There are so many obstacles, so many impediments that will come in our lives. Many of them will be inconceivable. But to develop that faith by hearing in the association of devotees of the glories of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the kindness of the Lord, we can overcome all impediments. With faith, we try to see every situation as an opportunity to grow. And factually, every situation in life is an opportunity to grow and come closer to Krishna, however mysterious it may be. But we have the free will. We could either be discouraged and depressed and move away from Krishna in that situation, or we could seize the opportunity to please Krishna by our integrity, by our devotion, by our sincerity. That is the secret of success in spiritual life. To transform every type of a situation as an opportunity to serve and please Krishna, Guru, and Vaishnavas. Then no impediment can give us a setback. There are many beautiful examples. There is the story of Ranti Dev. You know, he was fasting for about 40 days. He was on the verge of death with his family. He was out in the middle of a forest, and someone came and brought him some Mahaprasad to break his fast. It was the absolute last possible chance to survive. That prasad came, and he said the prayers with his family, was about to eat, and a Brahmin appeared. Brahmin said, oh king, please give me food, I am hungry. He served the Brahmin to his heart's content. After the Brahmin was honored, respected, and fed, they sat down to eat. At that time, a Shudra, common laborer, appeared and said, Ranti Dev, king, I am hungry, give me food. So he fed his whole family, and then he fed the Shudra. And he's about to sit down. And just his hands were trembling. A man came with a pack of dogs. and said, "I'm hungry, and so are my dogs. Please feed us." He fed the man and all the dogs to their satisfaction. There was nothing left. Only a cup of water, which was just enough to save him from death. And then a chandala, a criminal outcast person, came and said, "O king, I'm thirsty. Please give me water." In other words, he was asking for his life. What would you do? Would you like to hear what Ranti Dev did? He folded his palms and prayed to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He prayed, "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I do not desire any benedictions of this world. I do not want wealth. I do not want fame. I do not want health. I only want one benediction from you. Please bless me that in every life I may take, give me the chance, give me the great fortunate opportunity to give up my life to show compassion to other living beings." By giving my life in the form of this water to this chandala, I will forever be free from hunger, thirst, lamentation, moroseness, failure, and even death. With a grateful heart, speaking these words, he gave the water to the chandala, and he drank it. There was nothing left. Hare Krishna. But that's not the end of the story. All of these personalities transformed into demigods and came with a nice feast for Ranti Dev and said, "You passed our test. We wanted to see to what extent you were compassionate in a mood of service to God through service to others. You were willing to do it to the point of death." So he was seeing the most difficult situation as an opportunity to serve, to be compassionate. Material consciousness is selfishness. Spiritual consciousness is to forgive, to be instruments of compassion, to be instruments of love, to be selfless in service. And this is really the essence of Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed that the essence of all religion is to show compassion to all living entities by broadcasting the glories of the holy name. So how to see Krishna? By seeing opportunity to serve everywhere. Because factually, everything is in relation to Krishna. One time, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "How can we see Krishna everywhere?" And Prabhupada made the most esoteric mysteries, so simple to understand. They asked Prabhupada, "How do we see Krishna everywhere?" And Prabhupada said, "When you see these spectacles, what do you think?" And the devotee said, I think this is Prabhupada's spectacles." He said, "That is how. Sarvaloka Maheshwara. Everything is the property of Krishna. Whatever we see, we try to understand that it is Krishna's. He is the creator, he is the maintainer, and everything is ultimately meant for his service. And by that enthusiasm to serve, we can see Krishna everywhere." Thank you very much.
Maybe devotees can and take advantage and ask questions. Otherwise, we panel. You have the portable mic.
Hare Krishna, Radha Naparaj. I had in one of your radio conversations, you gave a talk somewhere, and then you narrated stories about Lord Chaitanya and one of his very intimate devotees who happened to sell. Somehow I'm fortunate, every time I turn on the radio and this class come on, if I'm fortunate to listen to it, it never gets to the end, so I wasn't fortunate to listen to the story to the very end. I don't know if you take some time to narrate it once again. Lord Chaitanya and his very intimate devotee who happened to sell banana leaves, and he just sell banana leaves, and Lord Chaitanya eats from his banana leaves. He doesn't eat from any other banana leaves.
How far did you hear? Because the story is a whole class in itself.
I guess it's probably as far as I heard, it was when every time he meditates on Nimai, and every time Lord Chaitanya comes over to his place, he asks, "Why are you selling this banana leaf so expensive?" So he keeps chastising that your banana leaf is expensive. Other people are selling cheaper. And, I mean, that's as far as I had. I mean, I know the lecture is a little bit long, but it just stops there.
Should I tell story or should we stick to the subject of tonight? Maharaj, you are the authority of our lives today.
Maybe what we'll do is you can ask questions based on the theme, and perhaps tomorrow we can ask Maharaj to give a full class and he can tell several stories.
I like to tell that story, but I am Maharaja's servant. He has established the theme.
You said, Maharaj, about that we should think of Krishna with faith, and I would like you to explain me what that means. To think of Krishna with faith.
Faith is a natural development. Rupa Goswami teaches adosha tatatha sadhu sangota bhajanakriya tato narta navitisha tato nishta ruchistata, that our spiritual advancement is really determined by the development of our faith. What was Srila Prabhupada's faith? When we read about great souls and we see how they pass through various difficult situations, we learn from them what faith really means. Prabhupada's prayers on Jaladutta were so hopeful, so positive, so humble. And they took place after a series of heart attacks and seasickness. How he was seeing Krishna. We read about Prahlad. We read about the Pandavas. And we even see in the lives of devotees. I'll give an example. One of my dear godbrothers, Hayagriva Prabhu. He helped Prabhupada very significantly in the early days. But due to weakness of heart, he fell away from the principles of Krishna consciousness. Quite significantly. And this went on for many years, where he was in a morally and spiritually very fallen condition. Prabhupada was always calling for him, always eager to forgive him, always eager to inspire, encourage him to render service. Prabhupada never gave up on anyone. But Hayagriva was unable or unwilling. Years later, I remember he was in Goa. Goa is not famous for a place for spiritual pilgrims. For those of you who know about India, he was in Goa when he had very serious pains in his back. He came to Bombay, we met him. And when he got diagnosed, very advanced state of cancer, he was to die within a matter of months. According to all classes of doctors, there was nothing they could do. Hayagriva Prabhu, due to his association with Prabhupada, years before, he had faith. In that state, he actually saw this cancer as Prabhupada and Krishna coming to rescue him. He didn't see it as a disease. He saw it as a blessing. That he was wasting his life, and here was a blessing. Prabhupada was calling him home back to Godhead. He surrendered his life completely. He became so humble, so sincere, so totally dedicated. When I was at New Vrindavan, I was living in India at the time, but whenever I would come, I would very regularly go to his bedside because he was totally crippled. He couldn't walk. He couldn't even sit up. So much pain. That I would read to him Srimad Bhagavatam. He would be so grateful. So grateful. Every word of Prabhupada's books was like nectar to him. I've never heard Prabhupada like I'm hearing him now. What a wonderful blessing this disease is. I'm seeing Krishna. I'm seeing Prabhupada. I'm seeing an opportunity to serve. One day he looked at me, very sober, and spoke. He said, "I have no regrets that I'm suffering terrible pain. I have no regrets that in a matter of days I may die. I only have one regret." Then his voice choked. Tears came from his eyes. And like a child, he somehow or other spoke his only regret. That I could have done so much for Srila Prabhupada in my life, but due to my weak-heartedness, I did not do it. That is the only regret I have in life. He wanted to take sannyas, because back in the 60s, Prabhupada told him to take sannyas. No, this is a long time after. Over 20 years after. This was in 1989. So we had a ceremony in the main temple, but he couldn't come, so somebody else threw the grains in for him, and I brought his danda up for him. And he was laying in bed, and when he saw that danda, his eyes just became full of joy. His face illuminated with happiness. He wasn't seeing four sticks of bamboo wrapped up in cloth. He was seeing Prabhupada. He was seeing Srila Prabhupada in that danda. with tears in his eyes and such happiness, he started speaking to the danda. He said, "Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you've come to me." He said, "You asked me to take sannyas over 20 years ago, but you haven't forgot me. I know I'm late, but Srila Prabhupada, you've accepted me." And then he took that danda as if he was embracing Prabhupada's lotus feet and just held it to his heart and to his head, weeping like a child. He was seeing Prabhupada, he was seeing Krishna in that danda because of his faith. Because he saw that Prabhupada, as he was crying, he said, "Prabhupada, I gave up on you, but you never gave up on me. And now you are pulling me back home, back to Godhead. Thank you." That was his spirit when he left this world. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? He saw pain, suffering, cancer, and death as an opportunity to surrender to Krishna. And therefore he considered it the greatest blessing of his life. He saw Prabhupada's service. So by hearing these stories from the scriptures, when we hear stories about great Vaishnavas, when we hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, sincerely, that gives us faith. We need that faith. That is why, no matter what happens, it's so important that we take shelter of devotees who are aspiring for that faith. Because that faith will support us. And it will help us to pass through all difficulties. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami offers beautiful prayer. He said, I am crippled. I am a lame man. It is the stick of the mercy and the association of the Vaishnavas that is holding me up and helping me and facilitating me to carry on this path of devotion. So by hearing of people who have faith, by associating with people who have faith, faith naturally awakens within our heart. And that faith can inconceivably carry us forward to the lotus feet of Radha Damodar, no matter what may happen within our life, no matter what impossible situations may come before us. And that is what spiritual life is about. Developing that faith. Does that answer your question? It's all important.
I want to thank you for that wonderful story. We have a devotee in the community who, by the doctor's prognosis, is dying of cancer. This is another sign of your ability to say timely things for the benefit of everyone. I'd like to ask a question for all of you. We know that faith has a lot, you said, you're showing us faith has so much to do with being able to see Krishna in all things, appreciate Krishna's mercy and presence, whether it comes in what may seem to be auspicious or inauspicious. But what about in the case where someone, because faith also has to do with anticipation about the future in connection with the past and the present. So if one is seeing that persons who are more advanced than him or her are struggling or having difficulties, then how can such a person be faithful? So someone is going on trying to be faithful and dedicated, and they see that there are cases when someone is even more advanced than they see themselves, and they see that there may be some incoherence or some difficulty that may be experienced by one more advanced than them. So in such situations, how is a person to still have strong faith? Can you, each of you, share it with us something on that?
Actually, you've answered your own question, because you said the person is struggling. But it is the person who gives up the struggle that is defeated. It's not the person who is struggling. And just because a person is advanced doesn't mean there's no struggle. The struggle is also advanced. And it means that what they are receiving from that struggle is of a greater degree than from a person who may just be beginning to struggle. So the younger devotee who is seeing a advanced devotee struggle is being educated to remain faithful to their vows and commitment, and to remain always engaged in the struggle, because there's never, we're here in this material world. We're not, even when we're in our own temples, we're sitting here in this room, and how many people are struggling with their minds and their bodies just to even stay awake, maybe, or just to even be attentive. So even though the temples are a place of great spiritual atmosphere, Prabhupada said that where the topics of Krishna are heard and discussed, that place is Vaikuntha. So we are actually sitting in Vaikuntha. But do we actually realize that, and are we aware of that? Vaikuntha is a place without anxiety. There's no conflict. And we're sitting here fighting with our mind and our senses and our body. So it doesn't perhaps feel like Vaikuntha. But if we choose to put aside the struggle and go somewhere else or try something else, then we've surrendered to Maya as opposed to continuing our surrender to Krishna, because that is what the struggle is. It is an ongoing struggle to surrender completely and fully to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's a lot more liberal attitudes within our society than maybe in the earlier days, because we were younger and maybe more dogmatic or even sometimes fanatic. But one time there was a woman who met the devotees, and she liked the philosophy. She took one of the books, and she actually liked the book. But she noticed that the devotees were quite rigid. And she wrote to Srila Prabhupada and was asking him why his devotees were so rigid. And Prabhupada appreciated. He said, they must be like that, otherwise they'll succumb to Maya. So he appreciated their determination. He appreciated their struggle. And in our liberal mood nowadays, sometimes we are thinking this situation or this temple or this particular job or whatever it is we're faced with, it's too difficult, it's nicer, you know, the proverbial grass is greener somewhere else. So I'll go somewhere else, I'll try something else. But where is there not a struggle? The struggle is always there to maintain one's body, mind, and senses. But if the struggle is aimed at keeping one's body, mind, and senses
somehow connected to Krishna, somehow or other, at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, then that struggle becomes a struggle of victory. So a young devotee shouldn't be surprised to see a senior devotee struggling. It is a sign of their seniority, it is a sign of their strength, it is a sign of their commitment and determination. The sadness would be if they gave up the struggle.
That again ties in with the also with the quality of compassion that we and respect as well, that we always should give respect to the Vaishnavas who are engaged in the service of the Lord, and knowing them to be so dear to the Lord. It says in Srimad Bhagavatam, I can't recall which canton, this sloka, but that the even the devotee of the devotee is very dear to Krishna. So we are all Prabhupada Anugas and Rupa Anugas. So these great acharyas, they have taken us out of the material world, and by their great love and compassion, and how can we judge another person and say, no, we condemn them? That is not possible, because they have already gotten the mercy of Guru. We should be kind and help them in some ways, or other, to continue their path of serving Guru and Krishna. And then our Krishna consciousness is protected by that too, because Krishna will see us, recognize us as that we are wanting to be the servant of the servant of the servant, which is actually our constitutional position. Hare Krishna.
I was asking you to repeat the question. The question is, as faith has so much to do with contemplation of future, something wonderful for the future, but a lot of that has to do with what's happened in the present or in the past. So if we see that in the past as well as in the present, devotees even more advanced than ourselves may have some setback, some struggle, some difficulty, then how are we to access strong faith? Based on that.
Question has been answered so nicely by Malati Prabhu and Narsaki Prabhu. From another point of view, we should try to perceive reality through the eyes of the scriptures. Krishna tells in second chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, Neha Vikramanasoste Pratyavayo Navidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. That any spiritual advancement we may make is never lost. It is everlasting. It may be covered by for some time, but it can never ever be lost. Whatever we do for Krishna, Krishna will never forget. In regard to Hayagriva Prabhu, we'll go back. When he was in a very fallen condition, Prabhupada wrote him a very prophetic letter. He said, because you once chanted Hare Krishna sincerely in Vrindavan, Krishna will save you. And even though so many neophyte devotees were seeing he's doing this and he's doing that, and why is he doing this and why is he doing that, Prabhupada understood he was doing that. But Prabhupada was remembering all the wonderful editing work he did, all the wonderful writing he did, how he helped him to start his first center at 26 Second Avenue. So Prabhupada and Krishna never forgot the good. Devotional service is never lost. If we're 80% Krishna conscious, or let us say someone is 80% or 90% Krishna conscious, and for some inconceivable reason, maybe due to inattentiveness, maybe due to an offense, maybe some very high level form of purification that is very inconceivable, that person has difficulty, we shouldn't see it out of context of the whole picture. All that this person has done, all that this person has done for the Vaishnavas, for the Guru, for the world. Tyaktva svadharamam charanam bhajam harer is a beautiful verse in Bhagavatam, which describes even if a person who makes advancement in spiritual life has difficulty, we should understand that Krishna is going to save him and take, or her, and take that person back home, back to Godhead. It's just a matter of time. But people who are successful through material means, it's all karmic. They eventually lose everything. So we should not lose faith. We may, but we should try to understand through the eyes of the scripture that even if persons who are more advanced than ourselves have difficulty, they're to be respected, they're to be honored, they're to be worshipped because of all that they have done. And that is all eternal. Let's take the instance of Hayagriva Prabhu. The man went back to Godhead. There's no doubt. He was completely Krishna conscious. Now, once you're back in the spiritual world, does anybody think about the times you fell down and the difficulties you did? It's irrelevant when you surrender. So yes, we should see every devotee in a more holistic way. That any devotee who sacrifices sincerely for the service of the Lord, that devotee will go back to Godhead in due course of time. There's no doubt. If there's some inconceivable test or inconceivable purification that causes that person to take a break for some time or whatever, we should see it in context of all the person's done. And we should strive. We should strive for perfection ourselves. Because actually, when a person is having difficulty, that person is going through some purification by the grace of Krishna. And also, Krishna is trying to teach special lessons to the world. What is the lesson to learn through understanding this picture? How much we must be very careful? Prabhupada said, there's accidents even on the royal road. What is that saying? That there's on the road back to Godhead, whether you're at the beginning point as a neophyte devotee or whether you're inches from the spiritual world, whether you're a million miles from the spiritual world just starting the journey, or whether you go on that road and you're just inches from Goloka, the ditch is always the same distance from the road. Hare Krishna. Whether you're 99% there or whether you're 2% there, the ditch is the same distance from the road. If you're inattentive, if you make an apparad, you fall. person who's 99% there, when that person gets back in the road, he's back to Godhead. But for the rest of us, we that get back in the road, we have a long, long, long way to go. So we should honor and respect those who have given so much of their lives in the service of Krishna. And see that the future is always bright. If we just, as Malati says, keep striving and struggling with integrity. Is that all right?
It is divinely inspired. Maybe devotees have other questions in different areas.
Yes. I couldn't hear.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol.
How can I learn to see Krishna within me?
Is this for me or for one of these great Vaishnavis? Who would like to answer a question? Would you like to assign the question to each person, Maharaj?
I'll let down the Maharaj assign.
So many people. I spoke yesterday. I did a class this morning.
You just choose who the question I should go to. When the question comes, you just decide who should take the question.
No. I didn't understand the question.
She wants to know, it's your disciple there, she's asking, how can she see Krishna in herself? So which devotee should take that question? I think Maharaj should take the question himself.
Isn't there some Shastric reference about pleading the fifth somewhere? How can I see Krishna within myself? Referring to one's own self.
Yeah.
Well, we can do it from Shastra and understand that Krishna is in the heart. He's the indwelling super soul within all living entities. So by philosophical acceptance of the scriptures, we understand that the Krishna is within our heart. Therefore, we should also act in such a way that we honor our position as being Krishna's servant. That therefore we shouldn't do anything outside that of our devotional practice that would in a sense offend Krishna within our own heart. So our actions should be in such a way that Krishna is right next to us. And he's there within our heart, and he's also there with, as the external representation, as the spiritual master. So we act in such a way is that Krishna is always with us. He's always watching us. And although we're not aware of that by our, let me say, consciousness, still we understand that is the reality. So we follow very carefully the etiquette and the mood of a devotee. And that way we're actually worshipping Krishna within our own heart, and of course Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God, who is in this deity form, as in this holy name, and all other aspects he comes in.
So your Guru Maharaj explained how you can see Krishna inside of you. There's a question, Rajalila.
This question is for Radhanath Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami. I want to thank you, Maharaj Malati Narataki, for coming to Gitanagari. We appreciate your presence here. Thank you very much that you've put this on your schedule for this year. Maharaj, I was wondering, we hear so much about the Vaishnavas being merciful, and we know that there are 26 qualities that we are to develop as we pursue Krishna consciousness. However, oftentimes, as you were explaining, when someone's behavior does not quite meet our expectations, then the tendency is to find it very difficult to forgive. And we may hold very grudging, hard feelings that may actually stagnate us from making progress in our Krishna consciousness. So what is that weed that makes one not able to forgive?
Please forgive me before I make my attempt to answer your question. It is ignorance. Avidya. Ignorance, false ego, which is a product of vast conditionings within this material existence. Because it is the nature of the soul to forgive. This is a universal principle. What was Jesus? They asked, how many times can we forgive? Can we forgive seven times? He said, you should forgive seven times seven. Yes. Nityananda Prabhu, he forgave Jagai and Madhai, although they tried to assassinate him on two occasions. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, blasphemed, spit on, and he wasn't even praying to be saved. His only prayer to Lord Krishna was, please forgive them. Vishnu sent his Sudarshan Chakra to kill them, his executors. And he was praying, please forgive them. Please give them devotion. And Lord Chaitanya said, because of his power of his forgiveness, my Sudarshan Chakra became immobilized. It didn't work. So this is the nature of Vaishnav. This is the nature of the pure heart, is to forgive. A devotee sees that whatever comes upon me is the reaction of my own karma. Whoever does an injustice or causes pain to you is really just an instrument of your own karma. They're not to be blamed. That is the way a devotee sees. Tathenu kampam susumikshamano. That whatever is coming is just the instrument of my own karma. I have created this situation sometime in my life or in a previous life. They're just the postman or postwoman delivering my lot. Now, if the city sends, if the postman comes with a large bill, you may be angry at the person billing you, but are you angry at the postman? No. You're the one who bought the thing. You bought it, and they're sending you the bill. The postman's just delivering. So similarly, whatever comes, we have created it. And that is reality, that is truth. And factually, the only way to come out of this karmic reaction and action and reaction and action is to forgive. When we hold grudges, when we speak ill of others, when we think ill of others, we're just perpetuating this whole cycle of action and reaction and karma. We're getting our karma, and how do we respond to it? If we respond with forgiveness, if we respond with
in Krishna consciousness, we transcend it. Any other way, we just further implicate ourselves. This is the philosophical reality of life. To forgive is divine. How many things have we done that we must be forgiven for? God will forgive you and me to the extent we're willing to forgive others for their injustices to us. In forgiving, we are forgiven. In holding grudges, we are perpetuating our own very, very difficult materialistic ego. This is one of the most essential austerities for one who really hopes to make significant spiritual advancement. The austerity of forgiving others. That is why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized the sloka, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iva Sahishmana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. About this verse, he told, put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. Unless you have this consciousness of forgiveness, you can't properly chant the names of the Lord. To be humble like a blade of grass. People trample on the grass. They spit on the grass. They excrete on the grass. They cut the grass. Be humble like the grass. More humble. Tolerant like a tree. And offer all respect to others and expect none in return. That consciousness is so sacred. It is so dear to Krishna that if we could do that, which is really all about forgiving, is it not? Then we could chant the name of the Lord constantly. So yes, we should see, if we're not forgiving toward another, it's not that person's problem, it's our problem. It's an anarta. It's an unwanted contamination in my heart that's blocking my progress. So we should pray to Krishna. We should chant the holy name with a prayer to Krishna. Give me the power to forgive and be the well-wisher of this person. Then I can actually make real spiritual progress. Nityananda Prabhu begged Lord Chaitanya, forgive Jagai Madhai. Jesus on the cross prayed, forgive these people who are killing me. They know not what they do. This is the way great souls live. Vasudev Das prayed, forgive every person in the universe, even if I've never seen them, I don't know who they are. Forgive them all. Let them go back to Godhead and let me take all their sins. Now, we may not be able to imitate these people, but we understand this is actually the quality of a great soul. If Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas did not forgive us for all the crazy things we've done in our life, where would we be today? And how to reciprocate? We asked Prabhupada, devotees asked, how could we repay you? Prabhupada said, what I have given you, you give to others. That doesn't mean, it means the philosophy, it means the holy name, but it also means he gave us so much compassion and forgiveness, we should give that to others. Srivas Thakur, Gopal Chapala tried to destroy his life. He forgave him from the beginning to the end. That's the heart of a Vaishnav. The heart of a real Vaishnav is forgiveness. Because that's the mood of a servant. And we can't see Krishna in our heart until Krishna reveals himself within our heart. And Krishna reveals himself within our heart in proportion to our service attitude. and forgiveness is very much the heart of the service attitude. And in my own life, I've seen that if you really, no matter how, what a devotee does, if you really look into the background, objectively, of what brought that devotee to do what that devotee may be doing, you're not angry. You're sympathetic. If you try to see the whole picture, you become very sympathetic well-wisher and pray. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna.
Other questions? I had to honestly tell you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In regards to forgiveness, when one has forgiven, is it a Vaishnav etiquette to keep, as they call, arm length distance from being hurt again?
Keep arm length distance?
In the sense that if one has been hurt several times and they have forgiven, but when they come to a point in life where they're tired of being hurt from another party, is it proper or is it Vaishnav etiquette to say, you know, like, I've been forgiving and it's enough, can I take distance or can I not be close to the person? Am I making sense?
It makes too much sense.
Sorry.
According to time, place, and circumstance, that may be the most compassionate way to deal with that person. And also we must protect ourselves to maintain the integrity of our own spiritual perception. So yes, in some circumstances, in order to maintain a proper disposition of mind. Then arm length distance may be favorable. Should we have kirtan now?
What did he say? Yes. Yes. So maybe tomorrow you can give Bhagavatam class? Hmm? And the devotees can have more questions to ask yourself. And
I am your obedient servant.
Then that is an order. Bhagavatam class tomorrow. It's time for the Sruvaki.